Today is not a normal message for me. Today is something that God put on my heart to share. A couple weeks ago in church, I was preaching, and it's just interesting that that happened to be the moment where God chose to really just convict me on the spot. And so I made a commitment to him to do something that I have been putting off for a long time. Anybody can relate to what I'm talking about? Anybody have some delayed obedience in here? And so that's what I had going on. And God was suggesting something to me, actually started about 2020. And you think, wow, that takes a long time. I guess I can be stubborn. But God kept suggesting this to me, and I kept thinking, God, that's crazy. I can't do that. But God kept convicting me and convicting me and convicting me. And so I'm going to kind of talk about that. But I'm praying that in this message you'll see that God's not just leading me, but I believe he's leading you as well down a new path today. I think God wants to do something new in all of us. And I've just found that oftentimes God starts it with me, but then he passes it on to you as well. So today's message is called Remain in Me. I'm going to tell you what that is in a moment. Here's a verse God keeps giving me again and again through over the last few years. 1 Corinthians 2. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God remind me through this verse, if you'll commit to this, you have no idea what I'll do in you, through you, and for you. So God just kept convicting me of that. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So God wants to do something in us that will impact his church and the next generations, what that says. But he can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or even dream of doing. So the first thing I want to tell you today is that God has so much more he wants for you. He's waiting on you to surrender to his will. Now, parents, have you ever suggested something to one of your kids? You didn't outright command it, but you suggested it in the hopes that they'll get it on their own, that they'll realize, hey, you need to do this, that it'll become something they want. Like, you can make a rule, like, you have to do this. But oftentimes, you know, kids do it out of response to you and not internally, right? But isn't it true, parents, that we want our kids to internally just want to do the right thing, right? So you suggest it, and eventually, like, you're like, okay, I'm done suggesting, go clean your room. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. I'm done suggesting, you got to quit coming in so late. I'm done suggesting, go do your homework, right? And so, but at first you start off just kind of suggesting it in the hopes that they will want to do it in their own heart. That's where God has had me for a while now. And it's in that process that in 2020, if you've been here any time at all, you know that over 20 years ago, 24 years ago to be exact now, God convicted me years ago to pray 100 hours. And in that prayer time, God spoke to me very clearly about planting churches around the world. He gave me a vision in the prayer time, which, you know, this is something that my background has no explanation for, but I knew it was God gave me this vision. People were walking up to me from all walks of life in this mental picture, is the best way to describe it in my prayer time. And one lady was from Asia, another man from Africa. They were both in clothing that matched their culture. Someone else from India, just from all over the world, all walking up to me saying the same thing. They were all saying, when are you going to start the church for me? But they were saying it in their language, and I was hearing it in mine. And it just broke me. This is about hour 50 of my 100 hours of prayer time. And I began to write as fast as I could. It was like a word of knowledge came to me. God just told me, do this, and do that, and just show me what to do. Your church has to get to this side. See, the reason we built this auditorium, we couldn't afford to build this. You know why we built this at the time? Because we knew this is the amount of seats we had to have a church a certain size, to be able to have an offering large enough to be able to plant 100 churches. You see how it backed up everything to show us the vision? See, this church is not about this church. This church is about the world. We've always been about the world. That's always been the heart of this church from day one. So through that, over the last 20 years, from 2000 to 2020, God gave me this clear vision. Actually, 2018 was the day of completion for it, the first 20 years of the church. And that was to plant 100 churches. And we've now planted 106 churches around the world. So I thank God for that. So then, around hour 20, God had me go back into this 100-hour season of prayer. It takes about an hour a day, you know, to do that, over 90 to 100 days. And I began to pray again and say, God, what do you want the next 20 years to look like for this church? Basically, I was like, Lord, before I retire, you know, what does that look like? If I've got, say, 20 years left, if I were just to, you know, estimate before they kick me out. And so I thought, you know, if I've got 20 more years, right, what do you want to accomplish that I can at least have the levers of leadership and be in charge of for you? So I just said, God, what do you want? And around hour 50 again, no surprise here, at least it surprised me at the time, but God spoke to me very powerfully, and he kept hinting and suggesting. And then I remember hour 47, 48, he was like, mentioned, I was like, well, that's crazy. That's just got to be some random thought. And I kept praying. And then hour 48, same crazy thought, like, oh, that's insane. I can't do that. And then about hour 49 or 50, I remember God saying, how many times am I going to suggest this until you realize this is not a suggestion? And I never forget falling out of my chair. I said, God, that's too much. I can't do that. And just breaking in tears and crying when the Lord told me to win 1 million souls. We call that now the Million Soul Initiative. That includes everyone that we've won to Christ in the past over the last 20 years with all the church plants and everyone they've won to Christ, plus all the people that Church Unlimited's won to Christ. When you do the math on that, it's about 280,000 souls that have been saved so far. And I believe we're going to see 1 million. I really do. It says in John chapter 15, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. I believe part of that was COVID. I really believe that some churches just shut down and needed to shut down. And then you think, well, that's really mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I think God's saying, I'll cut off what's not bearing fruit. But he also prunes what is bearing fruit. Have you ever started to really walk with God? You're like trying to take him serious and honor the Lord, and all of a sudden it seems like things get worse in your life. Like, why did that happen? I thought it was going to get better. That's because you're being pruned. Because God wants to produce greater fruit. And so any branch that doesn't have fruit, God cuts off those big branches because then the fruit, the energy, the nutrients can go to the new fruit instead. He says he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. He says, you have already been pruned and purified by this message I've given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce more fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In John 15, it says the phrase, remain in me and I will remain in you 11 times. Now, the reason this matters is because in the Greek language, there is no exclamation point. The way they give an exclamation point is by repeating themselves. And Jesus says this 11. Jesus is like, I have an 11-point message for you. Point number one, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Point number two, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Point number three, 11 times. I mean, clearly, this is a big deal to him. Another translation uses the word abide in me. Abide and remain means the same thing. In fact, the word abide means to be enclosed. It's like a baby being in his mother's womb. Like, what every part of the life of that baby only happens if they stay in the womb. Make sense? Full abiding. God's saying, if you'll stay in me, you'll get everything you need. But if you remove that baby from the womb too early, the baby won't make it. So in the same way God says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so number two is your effectiveness will explode if you stay connected to God in prayer. We must prioritize connection with him. I've recently wrote a book on prayer. It's not out yet. It's in the hands of a publisher. I have a meeting this week, and to be honest with you, it's kind of shocking to me that they took the meeting because books are almost dead because the only one left is Amazon selling books now, basically. I mean, there's a handful of bookstores. But I'm a little shocked at who called, actually, because my book agent that I've worked with for years mentioned the company. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. They're too big. He's like, I know, but they're interested. I said, that doesn't make any sense to me, but only if it's God. And if it doesn't happen, that's fine. God's in control. I'm not worried about it. The thing that God spoke to me about, and 2 weeks ago it came to a culmination that I've committed to, is to pray an hour a day, which that's not new to me. I have seasons where I do that. But what is new to me is I felt the Lord telling me no. Because I was like, you want me to do this for another 100 hours? And I felt the Lord tell me, no, I want you to do it for life. And that broke me. I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. But I felt the Lord telling me, this is a new rule for you. And I felt the Lord convicting me, saying, so your mentor, your pastor, Pastor Craig, tells you you're the prayer guy. You wrote a book on prayer, and yet you are not submitted under it. I said, okay, God, I don't know if he'll ever release me from that or if it's just for the rest of my life, and that's fine. But that's my new rule for life, is I'm just going to pray an hour a day, and I'm not asking you to do that. But I do believe God is taking you and I on a journey together, because I'm convinced. Guys, just since I've started this the last few weeks, God is wrecking me. He is wrecking me. And I'm realizing he has so much more for me, and I was missing it. And I was looking at that time with God like a chore. That's like calling going out on a date with your wife a chore. It's not. It's a joy. And so now what's happened is the hours become the jump-off point. And now that's just when the clock says it's been an hour, and God just keeps speaking to me. And I think God is taking me through this because he wants to speak to you. He wants to do more in you as well. He has so much more for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for you. If you'll just connect with him, he has amazing things to tell you. So there is such a thing as a rule for life. There's rules for life. That's like different rules are just good to abide by. We all have rules, don't we? Maybe you have this simple rule of life that, like, if you borrow something, take care of it before you return it, right? And make sure you take care of it. Make sure you do return it. If you borrow money, make sure you pay back the money, maybe with a little interest, right? Maybe for you, a rule of life is, you know, put the seat down after you go to the bathroom. Most women really like that rule for their husbands to follow, right? And so what's a rule of life for you? We all have different rules. Maybe the rule is don't chew in your taxes, be nice to people, be kind to strangers, right? These are just simple rules. Here's a great rule that we should always, always, always abide by. Never take a laxative and a sleeping pill the same night, ever. Just a good rule of thumb, I'm just saying. But there are rules to life, right? But here are some rules of life that the Bible constantly says. Like one of the rules of life that God repeatedly says is to pray. Pray without ceasing. It says another rule of life is to read the Bible. Another rule of life is to attend church regularly. Every Sunday, the Bible says to keep the Sabbath, right? That's a rule of life. Another rule of life is to tithe. Tithing's a big deal. I don't know if you realize this, but if you're not tithing, you're only hurting yourself. You know, God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And so when we finally commit to tithing, you'll see your finances suddenly straighten out. Doesn't mean you still don't have tight moments. We all do. But God just always provides. And so it's just a rule of life. Maybe a rule of life for you today would be to say, I've been attending church, but I'm going to start serving. I don't know what rule of life God's leading you to, but God led me to a new rule of life, to pray an hour a day. So I don't know what it is for you, but it's probably going to look different than mine, and that's fine. But I want to just show you the power of a rule of life. So after years of research, there's a group called the Center for Bible Engagement. It's an organization. They study the impact the Bible has on people's lives. And here's what they found. They found that if people read Scripture, they open up their own Bible or their own Bible app 3 times a week, it's good, but it doesn't transform their lives. But for some reason, the moment they move from 3 times a week to 4 times a week or more, just that shift, one more time, it's transformative. Now, the reason I'm not surprised with this is think about this. There's 7 days a week. That means you are in the Word more than not in the Word. Isn't that good? It means you're not perfect. We're not always going to hit it every time. Most of us don't hit 7 days a week in the Word of God. If you do, that's awesome. But if you just hit four or more, here's what happens. They found that, according to the Center for Bible Engagement, there's a 228% more likely chance that you'll share your faith with others 4 times a week rather than 3. There's a 231% more likely chance you'll disciple others. There's a 407% chance more likely you'll memorize Scripture. There is a 59% less likeliness for you to view pornography. That may be worth it alone to solve that one. There's a 68% less likely chance that you'll have sex outside of marriage. If you're dating someone, you say, man, I'm just really having a hard time being pure. Read the Bible together. It's really hard to read the Bible together and then do stuff. Okay, let's put the Bible away now. Let's get after it. No, it doesn't work like that. And so stay in the Word. This is something that helped Jessica and I. We waited till we were married. We actually did it, the thing that people talk about doing but don't really do. We did it, and it, by the grace of God, but we were in the Bible. That really helped us. 30% less chance you'll struggle with loneliness. That alone, again, is worth it, isn't it? When you realize that when you're alone, you're not alone. God's with you the whole time. These are rules of life. You know, the Bible talks about this, and the Bible says repeatedly, God says, follow my commands, my rules, my regulations. Well, I thought that was all the same thing. Oh, no, they're not. See, a command is a law that if you break it, now you're sinning. A rule is a good idea that will help you keep the commands. And a regulation is a routine of your rules that help you keep the commands. Did you catch that? So now let me show you where Jesus was teaching this. I want to put up on the screen right now a grapevine. Check this out. So if you look at this grapevine, these are grapes that are grown on the ground. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you do that, guess what happens? Bugs get in them. You can step on them. If it rains really hard, the dirt, it can kind of end up burying them by accident. And so you still have produced, you're still producing fruit, but you're going to produce less of it, less efficiently if you grow them on the ground. So here's how actual gardeners and farmers and ranchers actually grow grapes. Check this out. These are pictures of vineyards. Check the next. So this is what they put up, what's called a trellis. And you see on this trellis, this is not in season, you can see where the grapevines attach to them. And they've intentionally wired them together to where they begin to grow together into this trellis. Now let me show you a picture of one with actual grapes. This is in season. See, here's the grapes. Now they hang down perfectly. Bugs can't get to them from the ground, right? And so it's much easier and much better for them to produce more fruit. Did you know that the Greek word for trellis is rule? Which means that if you will put certain rules in your life, they will help you create a supportive structure to grow more fruit. Let me give you a couple. A rule in my home growing up was you go to youth group, period. Not if you feel like it. Not if you're not, you know, oh, I don't have time. Nope, you go to youth group, period. Why? That rule of life created a spiritual structure for me to grow in Christ. A rule of life in my family was you go to camp. And every year I went to summer camp and it changed my life. So we have camp, and not this week, but the next. It's not too late to sign your kids up. There's still space in junior high right now. I think high school is almost completely full. Junior high, there's still some space. Get your kids there. Make it a rule of life. Why? You're creating a structure for them to grow. Coming on Sunday to church and saying, this is what we do every Sunday. This is what we do is we're in church. If you'll make that your rule, you'll grow spiritually a lot more. Does this make sense, guys? So I want to challenge you to recognize God's not giving you rules to limit you. He's giving you rules to help you grow, to flourish, to thrive, to produce great fruit in your life. That's why he's doing that. So your effectiveness, number two, will explode when you connect with him in prayer. And this creates a support structure for all these things. There's Bible reading, getting into the church, you know, serving in church, tithing. All these things are good rules of life. Now, I want to show you something else here. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Again, you see the language here. He's the vine, we're the branch, and then we produce fruit. But what actually produces the fruit? The Holy Spirit, which means you're connected to the Spirit of God. That's the vine, right? He says it'll produce this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're like me, the last one's the hardest, isn't it? Self-control. There is no law against these. Basically, these are rules, not laws, is what that's saying. Now, I want to tell you, there's a common phrase among counselors and anyone who's trying to overcome an addiction, a struggle, a besetting sin, a bad habit, you can call it what you want. We typically have go-tos when we're emotionally not in a good place. Okay, we have things to run to. Maybe you run to food. Maybe you run to alcohol. Maybe you run to pornography. Maybe you run to a hit of some sort. Maybe it's marijuana. So you, oh, pastor, we're in church. Oh, come on, guys, I'm not dumb. Like, we're all still people. So these are realities, even among believers. So you know when you run to those things, counselors tell us they have an acronym for it. It's when you're dealing with HALT. HALT is when you're hurt, angry, lonely, or tired. Think about that for a second. You ever had a bad day and you're like, I just need to go out to eat? What is that? Food therapy. Right? We jokingly call it that, but it's really not therapeutic at all. But that's when we blow our diets. That's when you end up doing things you normally wouldn't do. So when you're hurt, you're angry, you're lonely, or tired. You know, the Bible actually says when you're angry, in your anger, do not sin. Because when you're emotional and your emotions are out of whack, is when you do things you regret.
And so God says, be careful of that. So the reason I'm tying this together is because this will also help you, number three, overcome sin. It's directly related to your prayer life with God. It's directly related to this. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. And you may want to change the first phrase of that. Maybe it's not wine for you. Maybe you say, don't drink beer, it'll ruin your life. Maybe you say, don't go to the clubs, it'll ruin your life. Don't look at porn, it'll ruin your life. Don't, what is it for you? Don't cheat on your taxes, it'll ruin your life. It will, there's people in jail for that. So what is it for you that is a struggle? The answer to that is getting in God's presence. It will change you from within. Hebrews 4 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. So God says, basically, I understand your weaknesses, but if you'll get in my presence, come boldly, asking for what you need. God says, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you grace. Mercy means you get what you don't deserve. It means God blesses you instead of the weight of your sin falling in on you. God says, just come, be filled with my Holy Spirit. I'll change you from within. Guys, can I tell you something that's really hard for me? It's hard for me to sit still. You ever heard this phrase? Maybe your parents said it to you, or you said it as a parent. Don't just stand there, do something. God often has to tell me, don't just do something, stand there. I'm a doer, and so it's hard for me not to just go at it. And the Lord's teaching me, stop it. You're running in front of me instead of with me. So maybe that's you today, that you need to slow down and connect with God. Here's the verse that God keeps giving me again and again, Hosea 6:3. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. What does that mean? He's saying, I will answer your prayers if you'll just press in and stay with the Lord. You ever read the Bible and you're like, I was reading the Bible, I didn't get anything out of it. And my answer to that is don't quit reading. Read until you get something from it. Because the Bible is how God speaks to us. So I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God. Your prayer time should always have an open Bible next to you. God will speak you through that. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. What does this mean? This means press on to know him. Yesterday morning, God woke me up about 5 a.m. If God wakes me up, if I'm up at 5 a.m., it's God. Now, for some of you guys, it's fishing, but for me, it's God. And so I don't normally get up early. I'm not an early morning person, but I was awake at 5 a.m. And as God was speaking to me, I opened the Word, and I was reading in Exodus, because, you know, Mason did a great job last week. Can we give it up for Pastor Mason? Wow, what a great Word that was, was it not? He was talking about the Ark of the Covenant, so I just picked up on that again and started reading, and I kept reading, and it took me to Exodus, Leviticus to Exodus. Anyways, I was reading, and as I was reading it, it talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and it talked about how they built this temple that could be moved and go with them wherever they go, which is represents us today, because we are, our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So wherever we go, the temple's with us, right? Anyone think about where you're dragging that temple sometimes, right? So basically, it says in Scripture something I never caught before. At 5 a.m. in the morning, I thought, well, Lord, you got me up early. I guess I'm going to start my hour now. So I just began to pray, and I was reading the Scripture, and I was about to stop, and I felt the Lord saying to me, keep going. I got something for you. Okay, God, I'm going to keep going. I kept reading and reading, and then I came across something I had not seen before. You see, when they built the temple, they put the Ark of the Covenant, and the Holy Spirit came upon the Ark. It was so powerful, even Moses couldn't go in. And then the Holy Spirit would stay and rest there. This is what it says in Exodus 40. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. That word remained, there it is. They stayed and abided in the presence of God. I want to invite you to join me on a journey to abide in this presence. I don't know what that means for you. That's between you and the Lord, but you won't know what God has for you until you begin to pray. Say, God, where are you leading me? And so this is so hard for me. I went to our staff, to our executive team, and I said, hey, for the next 3 months, here's the plan. Nothing. They're like, what do you mean? I said, nothing. The plan is to clear our schedule. Do church. We're not going to mail it in. We never do that. We're going to do church. We're going to do it well.
We're not adding anything because I just want to seek God. Because I just believe God is about to do something that's going to blow all of us away. I think he wants to shock us with his will, with his blessing. I'm trying to tell you, God wants to pour so much blessing upon you and favor upon your life, upon your career, upon your family, upon your marriage, upon your kids. You won't know what to do with it, but you got to get still to hear from God. So would you join me now in standing? And this is our response today. Our response today is this across all of our campuses. God's wrecking me because he wants to wreck you too. So maybe today you've been trying to do something on your own. And God's saying, no, it's time to come to me and trust me and abide in me and just get in my presence. So I'm going to invite right now anyone who wants to come forward. We're going to open up the altar at all of our campuses. If you know God is speaking to you, you've been trying, you've been under pressure. That means you're trying to do it. But Jesus said, no, 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 take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. It's easy. God spoke this in my spirit. He said, if you will finally surrender to the time I want to spend with you, you have no idea what I will do in your life. I think God's saying the same thing to you. He said, I can transform your marriage if you both hit your knees. I can transform your relationships if you'll make prayer a priority. I can transform your career if you'll honor the Lord, follow his rules, his guidances. God says, you're still broke. You're not tithing. Surprise, surprise. No tithing and broke. Go together. But if you follow my rules, God says, I have a rule, and my rule is I must bless you if you bring 10% of your increase to God. It's a rule of his, and he doesn't break his own rules. What is it that God is speaking to you about? Where is he saying it's time to obey the Lord and trust him? Let's just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we sing, as we honor him. Let God speak to you.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to
give him your life.
The altar.
Surrender.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we take a moment to pray. Maybe God's saying there's something you're holding on to, and he's saying it's time to release it. Boy, God kept nudging me and nudging me. Finally, I was like, okay, God, I will release this time to you. I will prioritize you. Maybe it's resources. You say, God, I've been holding this. I need to release it to you. God's already told you what you're supposed to do. You just haven't obeyed. He suggests, then he commands, then he convicts. Some part of the stage, you're going to obey him. In the suggestion, in the command, or in the conviction. Somewhere, we must obey him. A lot of times the conviction is because we're doing the opposite. God says, look how that's working out. You're convicted. You realize, I'm messing my life up. Then you come back and say, I'm going to follow the suggestion, which is now a command, so it doesn't lead to a conviction. Let God speak to you. Obey him. Obey him in this moment, and watch what he releases in your life. Watch what he does. Oh, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has in store for those who love him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never given your life to Christ, you can receive him right now by praying a very simple prayer. You can pray this with me across all of our campuses, those online. Just say this with us. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you just pray that prayer, Christ has come in your life. Would you just lift your hand high right now across all of our campuses if you just gave your life to Christ? Hold your hand high. No one's looking around.
Just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Thank you. There's hands going up all across our churches. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Rockport, Fulton. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. Come on. God's moving right now at Rodfield. Praise God. Come on, Stone Oak. God's moving there. If you just gave your life to Christ, let us know. Praise God. If you're in our prison ministry right now, if you just gave your life to Christ, hold your hand high. We praise God for you that you gave your life to Christ. Those online, put it in the text chat right now. Just text to us, my hand's raised, or click hand raised. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for those who just gave their life to you. And thank you, God, for those of us who are simply surrendering to you again, saying, God, we keep running ahead of you. We will wait on the Lord. And we know you will do amazing things if we'll trust in your timing, in your plan, in your ways. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.